6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcius over to the right. Big shot! Score! Shea Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shea Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! It's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top 2-1!
And welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a game day, a Friday. Big weekend coming up. Got the Super Bowl, got a trip to Washington coming up. So much to get to here today. Clayton Hamilton along with my buddy Frank Harnish coming to you from Parkway Tavern down in Henderson. Hey, Frank, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to another Golden Knights game a little bit later on this evening. Seems like the whole sports media world is in Minnesota with the exception of us. But you know what? I'd much rather be sitting out here at Parkway Tavern enjoying the Vegas weather than the below zero temperatures in Minnesota. And, of course, a lot of people are talking about a football game. I guess there's one of those this weekend as well. But tonight, it's the Golden Knights in the Wild.
That's right. There is one of those things to contend with after the Golden Knights play Washington on Sunday morning. You can sit around and watch a little football after the hockey is done.
Yeah, maybe I will. You know, so, you know, it's a little dessert after the main course.
Main course. And we'll be back here at Parkway Tavern here on Mark Street in Henderson on Sunday for the Super Bowl. So come on out, enjoy the Golden Knights to begin with, and then the football game afterward. Get your seat early, hang out with us, watch a little hockey, see Alex Ovechkin and Braden Holtby and some of the stars of the NHL.
Yeah, it should be a good time here. And, of course, I was just here last Sunday for the All-Star game. Really nice staff here, Sarah and everybody doing a great job here. And come on down, enjoy the food, the beverages, and a little bit of hockey, and you know what? Just enjoy yourself. It's a big place. It's a spacious place. There's TVs all over the place, so you can get a good view no matter where you're at.
They have ping pong, a bowling alley, and Pac-Man here.
And they have the Jenga, which we've seen all over the place, which seems to be really popular these days. So all sorts of different things going on here at Parkway Tavern. And, of course, food, drink, and sports.
And sports. And a lot to get to today. We will have your game preview, have a little recap of last night, but we will start with news around the NHL, and we begin in Arizona. Scary moment last night. Arizona Coyotes goaltender Antti Raatinen was held out of the game Thursday night after being involved in an auto accident on his way to the arena. His car was rear-ended. He said he was shaken up, but otherwise okay. Said he probably could have played, but Rick Tocchet decided to give him the night off.
Yeah, and Tocchet actually found out of the accident just about 2.5 hours before the game. Said, no, you know what, just settle down tonight. Don't worry about it. Take the evening off. And who knows, maybe they would have won if Ronto was in there, but they're the Coyotes, so probably not.
They fell last night to the Dallas Stars. Johan Larson of the Buffalo Sabres, he had to meet with the NHL Department of Player Safety for a hearing on a hit that he gave Panthers forward Vincent Trocheck.
Yeah, did a little cross-check to Trocheck in the game the other night with Buffalo and Florida in the third period of the game. He was assessed a minor penalty at the 19:25 mark of the third. So game basically almost over and out of hand. So you wonder if it was maybe just a little frustration or maybe something was building up during the course of the game. So we will see what they say about that from the Department of Player Safety with Mr. Larson.
Columbus Blue Jacket head coach John Tortorella has said that Alex Wenberg and Nick Foligno will join Artemi Panarin on the top line, so Panarin getting some new running mates.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, there is an update here, too. Larson has been suspended 2 games for that action. So.
Well, there you have it.
So, yeah, so that just came down here. So, but, yeah, the Blue Jackets,
Alex Wenberg and Nick Foligno are going to join Artemi Panarin on the top line.
Yeah, breaking news here. Just I had to concentrate on that. But
love those
but
updates that swing up right in the middle of.
But yeah, Artemi Panarin certainly one of the guys who the Blue Jackets are counting on for big things this year. I'm not sure if he's been scoring goals at the rate they'd like, but he seems to be more and more comfortable. And they're saying that if you are a fantasy hockey player, which I know some of your friends and probably some of my friends are as well, but they're saying basically take Wenberg and Foligno now because look for their numbers to go up playing with the Breadman.
He was originally on the line with Cam Atkinson, then Cam Atkinson got hurt. They never really found a rhythm together before his injury. When Cam Atkinson came back, John Tortorella tried that combination again. It just didn't work so well, so we'll see how Artemi Panarin does with Alex Winberg and Nick Foligno.
Yeah.
Connor Sheary, update on him. He has now been told that he is out indefinitely after suffering an injury.
Yeah, and that could be a huge blow for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I know some people think that he's not that great a player and he's not that important. I think he is a nice piece to that team. One of the reasons that they have been winning is they're trying to make that fight back into the playoffs. I still think the Penguins, with all their backlists and everything, will find that we're in there. Hopefully for Penguin fans and just hockey fans in general, he won't be out too long. But when it's indefinite, well, there's a reason they say that. We have no idea how long it's going to be.
Up in Detroit, Peter Mrazek going to start the fourth of five games. Many people are speculating that Detroit is trying to showcase him in order to move him at the deadline.
Yeah, and Detroit, now this is a goalie who, you know, a lot of people thought was maybe going to be a Golden Knight during the expansion draft. They thought that they might pick him. Vegas decided to go a different direction. They did not want Mr. Mrazek. And getting the four starts in five games, it kind of seems that way to me as well. The general consensus seems to be that defenseman Mike Green is the main piece that Detroit has to offer that teams will be chomping at the bit at, but it looks like they want to get something for the young goalie as well.
In Colorado, Semyon Varlamov has been activated. He is expected to start this weekend. Jonathan Bernier had been filling in and filling in admirably, and more than admirably, I'd say. He was the number three star for the month of January. He had had himself quite a month, posting a league-high eight wins with a 2.10 goals against average, a 939 save percentage, and a shutout in his 11 games. Now Varlamov comes back, and the question I pose to you, Frank, is when Bernier is playing so well, what do you do with Varlamov?
I don't know. You can't keep three goalies on a roster. We know that. So someone's got to probably go down to their AHL affiliate. I don't see how you get rid of Bernier with the way he's been playing right now. But Varlamov is somebody that they're looking at for maybe down the road for their future. That's a decision that they have to make. The thing about it, too, why I don't think you mess up the apple cart right now, as the old saying goes, is because they've been playing well.
They have been. And they're a team that's on the cusp of the playoffs, and you would think that they would want to stay in that mold, and you want to ride the hot goaltender while you have him. Jonathan Bernier certainly has proved to be a more than serviceable piece in his past stops along the NHL route and specifically this year.
And with Nathan MacKinnon being out for a little stretch, 2 to 4 weeks or whatever, like we talked about yesterday, goaltending might be even at more of a premium for Colorado.
Also on the trade front, John Tavares has been at the forefront. Will he be traded? Will he stay? Will he resign? What's going to happen to the top scorer there for the New York Islanders? And general manager Garth Snow has said, and I quote, "I'm not trading John Tavares." He told that to Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic in a text message. We have heard general managers lie before, though, Frank. How much stock do you put in Garth Snow saying he's not trading John Tavares?
I believe that Garth Snow right now at this point believes he's not going to trade John Tavares. But if he gets an offer that's too good to be true and the Islanders continue to maybe drop out of it, and let's face it, although they're only 10 points from first place in the Metropolitan, they have to jump over a boatload of teams to get back in that playoff race. So I believe that is his point right now. But if somebody offers enough and all of a sudden you can get something maybe build for the future, you've got to at least talk about it, especially if Tavares is really, really content on possibly staying there. Unless he does a sign and trade and signs a long-term contract, you could trade him right now and get something and still potentially get him back.
Yeah, he's a good still back, and he could still get in the playoffs too. It does seem unlikely that he will trade him. He does become an unrestricted free agent on July 1st, but the Islanders just 1 point behind the Flyers for the second wild card spot, so you never know, but there are a bunch of teams that are jumbled, and it seems, Frank, you go from being right on the cusp to being six teams back with two bad games.
And it is crazy, too. You mentioned that they're only 1 point behind, and yet they're in last place in the Metropolitan Division. That's how crazy that division is. Should also be pointed out that they have played 52 games, which is a game or two more than most of the other teams ahead of them.
Yeah, so it's tough. Tough decisions to be made for the New York Islanders. A trade deadline always going to be a fun time. So, Frank, you know what else a fun time?
Watching the Golden Knights?
Yeah, that game last night, lots of emotion. There were some good stretches. There were some bad stretches, but the Golden Knights end up with a 3-2 victory. It took overtime, but David Perron, the hero of the night, Marc-Andre Fleury, made some key saves in overtime, and the Golden Knights break the record for the most wins by an expansion franchise in their first year with their 33rd victory in just their 50th game, 70 points on the ledger.
Yeah, Vegas Golden Knights absolutely just lighting it up here. Last night was actually their 34th victory.
Yes, their 34th victory.
34-12-4, so mm-hmm. That's what broke the record. They had tied it with the 33rd the previous game before that. And now you know what we're going to hear the rest of the season. Every single win is, well, the 35th is the most ever now, the 36th. So from this point on, all they will be doing is adding to that total. But it's been a magical season thus far. And the thing about it that's almost a little bit scary, how we keep on saying, yeah, they have to play a full 60 minutes. They haven't played a full 60 minutes necessarily the last couple games, but they still find ways to win. I hope they don't just think that's the norm, that they can get away with taking some shifts off here or there, because what has made this team so good is that guys don't take shifts off. And I'm not saying guys are taking shifts off, but when you play an 82-game schedule, and especially as condensed as it's about to get, it's tough to keep up that type of thing all the time and then leave something over to ramp it up when the playoffs start.
Yeah, exactly. But the momentum certainly changed last night with Riley Smith, his big hit and his shorthanded goal, and that is your best mattress play of the game. Play the game brought to you by Best Mattress, Best Service, Best Selection, Best Price Guaranteed, Riley Smith.
Smith breaks it up. So Blake Wheeler with 35 points at home this year, lost it. Smith to the net, shorthanded, and he scores! Riley Smith took it away from Blake Wheeler and goes upstairs shorthanded to tie the game at one.
And that's a play you don't usually see by Riley Smith hitting a guy on open ice, but he just punked him, Frank, knocked him over, stole his pudding pop, and went straight to the net.
I wonder if Blake Wheeler has watched that play 100 times since then, or if he doesn't even want to see it once, because I'm still not sure that he knows what happened there. He didn't think Riley Smith was going to come up there and hit him, whether he was a little off balance, whether Smith just caught him perfectly, or maybe Riley Smith was a little bit tougher than we give him credit for, but he knocked Wheeler down. You heard the call there when he said he takes it away from him. Well, he literally knocked him down and then just picked it up and said, okay, I'm going to have a little breakaway here, and then he made Hellebuck just look like a rented mule there. I mean, just pick the place, perfect shot, and all of a sudden the Vegas Golden Knights are like, hey, they have the most potent power play in the NHL at home. We got a shorty on them. Oh, by the way, they stopped all three of their power plays last night.
And that was one of those plays, Frank, that a lot of times when you see a breakaway, there is some back-checking, there is some pressure, some sense of urgency, but that was one of those cases that it was as much like a penalty shot or a shootout shot as you could get in live action.
Well, yeah, because Wheeler had the puck. He got knocked down, and everybody else from Winnipeg was moving forward because Wheeler had the puck. They thought they were going down. They were worrying about how they were going to get it over the blue line and set up their power play. All of a sudden, Smith is all by himself. Now, that being said, we see a lot of guys with breakaways. I know our buddy Ryan, the hockey guy Wallace, loves to say all the time how Connor McDavid can't finish a breakaway. He thinks it's absolutely physically impossible for him, which is a little bit tough on the kid. But Riley Smith buried it there, and now I believe William Karlsson has two of the four shorthanded goals, but Riley Smith is in that club as well.
That made the score 1-1, and the Golden Knights would get their second later in the period. David Perron would shoot one from the point. It would sort of slither through Connor Hellebuck's legs. Eric Halla would get the go-ahead goal, but it would be tied and be sent to overtime, and David Perron would do what he does. He would get the game winner, and David Perron is your player of the game. Our player of the game is brought to you by Brinkus Team Realty. Your home sold, guaranteed, David Perron.
Perron trying to gain a little space. Wheels it back out. Perron looking. Headshot, and he scores! David Perron picks the corner. His third overtime winner of the season. And the Golden Knights win it in overtime, 3-2.
3-2, that would be your final in beautiful moves by David Perron. Quick wrists. Just deadly in overtime.
You know, when he gets the puck, whether it's 3-on-3, 5-on-5, on a power play, whatever it is, when he has that move and he has that feeling and that sense, you almost feel bad for the defenseman because he lures them in like a spider to the web. He's like, come and try to get me, come and try to get me, and then uses the very defenseman in front of him to screen off the goalie and just cherry pick where he wants it. And he's a sniper with that shot. He throws that wicked wrister, and bang, he buries it, and all of a sudden everybody's looking around. And well, last night they were looking around for the exits because game over.
Game over. 72nd point, a record in Winnipeg. The boys head to Minnesota tonight, and it is time for your Vegas Golden Knights game preview brought to you by Raikman Plumbing and Air Conditioning, where a flush beats a full house every time. And Frank, last time they were in Minnesota, not so fortunate, a 4-2 loss for the boys in white and gold. They get a rematch. They get another shot at Bruce Boudreau and the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, and Bruce Boudreau, well, maybe he's calmed down from Seth Jones playing against him a couple nights ago, but I don't think Bruce Boudreau ever actually really calms down. But, no, I mean, this should be a good test for him. I think Minnesota is a quality team. Are they a playoff team? Well, that remains to be seen, because with the parity in the NHL right now, a lot of teams are fighting for those various playoff spots out there. But it'll also be interesting because Malcolm Subban, we haven't seen him in a while. We expect to see him tonight. The one knock that I've had on Malcolm is sometimes when he's a little bit rusty and he hasn't played some games, he can start out a little bit slow. Sometimes he'll give up an early goal there. I'd like to see that not happen this evening, but time will tell. But I think the team will jump up. I think they will play well there. They've got two wins already. We always say if you can go 500 on the road, it's a successful road trip. Well, there's a possible 6 points on the – I mean, 6 games on this road trip, so a possible 12 points. So if they get 6 of them, that's good. They've already got 4 in the first 2 games. They're on a great pace right now. They have a very successful road trip.
They certainly are. Eric Halla, Alex Tuck, another homecoming. And Eric Halla, Frank, has been so good and so important to this team. We saw him with the go-ahead goal last night. He is flying right now.
Oh, he's flying all over the place. He's got a nose for the puck. He's doing everything. He's really the heart and soul of that line, and that whole line is a hard-working line out there when he's out there on the ice. You know, it's funny because we talk about the top line and the second lines and this, that, and the other. When Eric Hall is on the ice, he's making a name for himself. As a matter of fact, if you go to the hat trick challenge on NHL, one of the questions there today is, they always have 3 questions with all the various games around the league, is will Eric Halla score a point tonight? So he has caught not just us here in Vegas and the teams that they're playing against, but the entire NHL, the national media now has their eyes on Eric Halla because he is just that darn good right now.
He really is. We're going to see Malcolm Subban tonight. We haven't got the official word yet. We expect second night of a back-to-back, still with 3 games to go after tonight on the road trip. We would think Malcolm Subban going to play tonight. Have not yet heard about Braden McNabb, but we were told he was ready to play. We expect that we might see him again tonight as well.
Yeah, the only thing I wonder, and I think we will see those changes. I don't really know if we'll see anything else. We know that when they've been winning games that Gerard Gallant doesn't necessarily like to mess with the lineup too much. They have won 2 in a row, although they haven't been the most beautiful, easy victories for them the last 2 games, but the bottom line is they have won them.
They certainly have. So lots to get to. Remember, stick with us at 4:30. We will have your pregame show today, 5 o'clock, the puck drop. Come on down to Parkway Tavern on Mark Street and join Frank and I. Enjoy the game, have a little supper, and we hope to see you down here as the Golden Knights go to Minnesota. But because they won last night, remember, when the Golden Knights win, you win too. Always listen to us on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. After the Golden Knights win, for your chance at a $50 gift card from MJ Christensen Diamond Jewelers, we are going to give that away right now, 702-876-1340. That's 702-876-1340. Caller number 5, you're going to get the $50 gift card. When we come back, we're going to be joined by EJ Raddick of NHL Network and hear about his thoughts about the Golden Knights in the Pacific Division right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton here with you on another game day. And Clayton, we've been waiting to talk to this gentleman here for a while.
Yes, we have. Pleasure for us to have EJ Raddick from us from NHL Now, weekdays 1 p.m. Pacific. Plus, NHL Network's going to feature him tonight with the Senators and the Flyers at 10 a.m. when the Maple Leafs and the Bruins get together at 4 o'clock tomorrow. So, busy guy.
Yeah, very busy indeed, but making a little bit of time for us. EJ, welcome to the show. Thanks for making some time for the Vegas Golden Knights Insiders.
Hey, my pleasure, my pleasure. You guys should be feeling good about things these days.
We're feeling absolutely great about things these days, but also have to give you props. Now, we saw something kind of special here in Vegas a while ago. We actually had a pretty good feeling that this team was going to be competitive before the season even started, but you're the first guy really nationally that started noticing them and giving them props and weren't afraid to say that, you know what, they're moving up in your power rankings. In fact, I believe you're the first one to put them at number 1 in those rankings.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know how many, I don't keep track of how many people do power rankings, but, you know, I get to watch a lot of their games. I'm kind of a night owl, and so I get to watch a lot. I watch a lot of the later games, maybe even a little more closely, and I really enjoyed watching the way they play. They play a great system. It's 18 skaters all in tune with one another. They play shift to shift to shift hockey. Just tremendous work ethic on a nightly basis, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. So, you know, it's kind of a story I've been able to follow from afar. I was fortunate enough to be at the first home game there, the NHL Network. We were out there for that, and that was an exciting time, and also a time with obviously a lot of you know, just a tragedy with what happened in Las Vegas. So there was kind of mixed feelings. But, you know, but on the ice, this team has been really fun to watch, and it's been a great story.
There was a lot of question marks when the roster came out, and the national narrative shifted from, this team's going to be okay, to they probably won't win much more than 28, 29 games. And now it's shifted all the way to the rules were really unfair that they were able to put this team together. What makes this team go?
Well, I just think that it's, you know, everybody's on the same page. Maybe it's because everybody came from different places and came in, you know, together with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. I mean, these are some good players. I mean, there's a lot of guys who you would have viewed going into this season as really good second, third line players. And a lot of teams, you know, they might have those high-end first line guys, but maybe they don't have, you know, a group that is as deep, let's say, as this group of Vegas Golden Knights. Now, the expansion system setup was enacted to give them an opportunity to be competitive in the first year, but you still have to go out and put that all together and find the players, and George McPhee did a nice job clearly in doing that, and he was also able to make a lot of deals. I mean, I think he left some players out there that could have been really good additions to the team, but he did it in terms of, hey, I'd rather make a deal and get draft picks than be able to set up this franchise for the future. So in the end, he was able to accomplish two things. He was able to do that and also put together a very, very competitive team on the ice. And Gerard Gallant has done just an amazing job with this group. And, I mean, like I say, I can't say enough about it. I just watch their games night after night, and I just think every line, every shift plays as hard as they can. And I don't think you could say that about teams in this league. It's just it's a hard season. It's an 82 game schedule. It's very difficult to do that, and I've just been really impressed with the way they've approached things on a night-to-night basis.
EJ Raddick joining us here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. When you talk about George McPhee, and certainly out here, we think that he should be the GM of the year. We think that Gerard Gallant should be the coach of the year, and then we'll see where the other pieces may fall. But the whole scenario has changed, like Clayton mentioned, from the early season expectations to everything now. And now people are saying that George McPhee has decisions to make as far as what he's going to do at the trade deadline. Do you still maybe trade a piece like James Neal or David Perron to build something for the future? Or do you hold pat? Or do you maybe even become buyers and try to get somebody else? What do you think they do? And if they were to get somebody, what kind of piece do you think is the one piece that maybe they are missing right now that could help them go deep into the playoffs?
Well, I think for me, I'd be more in the stand pat mode, because I don't think you really could sell at this point. I mean, this team has got the most points in the Western Conference. They're one of the top teams in the National Hockey League points-wise. They've had an unbelievable season. There's a lot of excitement in the marketplace. They're going to be a playoff team. They could be a team, who knows, they could go to the Stanley Cup Final with the group they have based on what I've seen. So I don't think you're in a selling mode. On the other hand, chemistry is a very unique thing in sports, and certainly in hockey, and you would have to identify, I think, someone that really fits into your group, because you acquire someone, that means someone else is going to be moved down the line. So I think that they'd have to take a good hard look at it. You always could use more depth in your group. They always say, well, it's always nice to have another defenseman, but the Golden Knights have a number of defensemen on their roster. That's been one of the things that they were dealing with right from the start of the season. They've got guys within their group and in their minor league group that they can bring up to plug into play. So I would probably be more in the of the mind to stand pat with an eye open of, potentially adding another depth player. But that person would have to be somebody that I really feel could fit into our group. And I don't know if that guy is out there.
We're going to see the Golden Knights up in Minnesota tonight, and a lot was made during the expansion draft about who was coming from Minnesota. A lot of people thought it was going to be Matt Dumba. A deal was made to not take him to get Alex Tuch and Eric Haula. When you see the haul that the Golden Knights got from Minnesota, what are your take on them, and did you see Eric Haula in Minnesota being the type of player that he's become here?
Well, I didn't think that, when you look at the numbers for Eric, 19 goals, 37 points, you didn't think that he would be that kind of prolific scorer, but he didn't have that opportunity in Minnesota. He was really kind of a fourth-line energy guy, and in Vegas he's had more of an opportunity to play in different offensive situations. He's always been a terrific skater and a fun guy to watch, and I think he's indicative of a lot of the things that have gone on in Vegas. People have come in and had an opportunity to be in different roles and to have more of a chance to contribute, and they've really stepped in and really embraced that opportunity. He's a great example, and I think it's a lesson moving forward if indeed we have expansion in Seattle in a couple of years or expansion anywhere down the line. And sometimes maybe it's just better to part with that one piece and not try to get too cute, so to speak. They ended up giving up Alex Tuch and Eric Hall, and I think there was other parts of that deal as well, just to protect one player. Most likely it was Matt Dumba. Maybe when you look at it again, if Chuck Fletcher could do it again, maybe he would just say, hey, I prefer to lose one player and not give away a couple of assets. So you got to give George McPhee a lot of credit, because he was able to make those moves, and he and his staff studied all the teams and knew the weak points of where teams would be in terms of who they could protect and who they couldn't, and he was able to hammer out some deals. I think one of the guys I've really enjoyed watching this year is Nate Schmidt. I thought he was a guy the Washington Capitals would love to have him back, but they went one route, and they thought perhaps that Vegas was going to take one of their goaltenders, Phil Grubauer. They decided not to, and they got a really high-end young puck-moving defenseman in Nate Schmidt out in Vegas. He's been one of the most important players on that team. So, for me, I think that and when you go back to Eric Haula and Alex Tuch, those guys are getting opportunities, and they've come up with a lot of important plays during the first, 50 or so games in this season.
When you talk about guys making the most of their opportunities, and there's certainly been a lot of guys on this team that have done that, but does anybody epitomize that more than William Karlsson and what he's done? I know John Tortorella, when the Blue Jackets came to town, basically said, well, he was happy for Bill, but he said, I wish he would have scored more goals with us in Columbus. Well, maybe he would have if he would have been in a better situation.
That's right. There's a great example. He's gotten every opportunity to play in big situations and offensive situations with other good offensive players, and he's taken full advantage of it. Here's a guy that was in Anaheim, went to Columbus and two places, but really never got a long look or a really good opportunity to play with the high-end players and play in big offensive situations. And through necessity, he's gotten that chance in Vegas, and he's taken off. 27 goals. He could end up with 40 goals this year. That's a head-scratcher, because nobody saw that coming. But, again, you got to give the player credit for embracing the opportunity, and you've got to give George McPhee and his group credit for feeling that he was a player that could come in and play and help their team. And you got to give Gerard Gallant credit for giving him that opportunity and being willing to stay with him. So it's been that's been one of those things you just shake your head, because it's not like William Karlsson hadn't played in the league before. He had played in a couple of different places and it hadn't really gone for him, but opportunity was the key, and opportunity knocked and he answered.
E.J. Raddick joining us from NHL Network. And E.J., as you take a look around the rest of the Pacific Division and you see some teams that have been good in stretches and bad in stretches, like Calgary, San Jose, L.A., Anaheim, out of those four, who would you rather be going forward?
I'd rather be Anaheim, because the first part of the season they had a number of injuries to key players. They were missing Getzlaff, they were missing Kessler at different times. Some of their defensemen were out. A Camp Fowler was out. A Hampus Lindholm was out for a stretch. John Gibson has kind of been in and out, and he's out again now. But they are getting healthier, and they have, when you look at their group, they have what I like to think are the elements of success. They've got strength through the middle of their team. When you look at Getzlaff and Kessler right through the middle as their top two centers, they've got a really strong group of defensemen with Lindholm and Fowler and Manson and Montour as a top four there, two lefties, two righties, some puck-moving guys, and some depth behind that. And John Gibson has been really good in goal when he's been in there. And, you know, Ryan Miller as a veteran is more than capable. So, you know, out of that group of teams, I think that is the team that's structured the best to have success moving forward. It's really a matter of staying healthy for the Anaheim Ducks. But that'd be the one team I'd be most worried about. I like Calgary's team, but I don't think they have the real the building blocks that the Anaheim Ducks have for success.
Drew Doughty had recently said after their most recent loss to the Golden Knights, he said in the locker room, there is no way that this Golden Knights team is going to be better than us come springtime. Any truth to that, or is that just salty Drew Doughty?
Well, I think what's Drew Doughty going to say? Hey, they're way better than us, and we have no chance? I mean, he's always going to – Drew has gotten to where he is in life with two Stanley Cups and two Olympic gold medals because he has a really strong belief in his abilities, as he should, because he's one of the very best players in the league. He may be the best defenseman in this league all around. So he's going to believe in himself. He's going to believe in his team. But, you know, the proof is in the pudding. The Vegas Golden Knights are winning games. They're beating these teams. So, you know, for me, I'm big on watching the games and looking for the results, and they've had a lot of success against a lot of these teams. My only question for, you know, going forward is that, as I talked about it earlier, guys, Vegas has brought a playoff mentality to the rink every single night this season, going right back to their first game of the season. They are playing like it's game seven every night. And when my experience has been watching the NHL season play out is that it ramps up, that the teams bring their level of intensity up a couple of notches. Now, when we get to the postseason and the Vegas Golden Knights are going to be there, when everybody's playing that with that playoff game seven mentality, is that going to be enough now? Is there going to be do the Vegas Golden Knights have another gear to kick into? I'm not so sure. We'll see, but I like their group. There's no reason to think that they're not going to be right in the mix and they're going to be competitive night after night no matter who they play. But that would be my only question at this point is when we get into the postseason and everybody does take it to the next level, do they have another level to go to, or are they going to be the team that they've been all year, which is very good, but they could run into a team that maybe just has a little more talent. We'll see.
EJ Raddick with us, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. When you're talking about the playoffs, and I was wondering that, and we've posed that question here about there's good regular season teams. We've seen teams win President's Trophies before and not have success necessarily come playoff time, and I've been wondering about that, the Golden Knights. But if Vegas isn't the team to beat in the West, who do you think is? Because I still have a sneaking suspicion that the Nashville Predators, especially with Mike Fisher potentially coming back and being fresh from not playing the whole first half plus of the season, I still think that Nashville might be the team to beat from the West.
Well, I agree with you. I like Nashville a lot. I would say if I was going to pick who was going to win the Western Conference, maybe the Stanley Cup, I think they'd be the team for me. I love the way that team is built right now. They're through the middle when you have a Johansson as your first center, Turris as your second, Bonino as your third. You got a Colton Sissons as potentially your fourth. Mike Fisher's coming back. He could be a fourth center. That top four group of defensemen with Subban, Ekholm, Yossi, and Ellis, and then you got Pekarinen and Nett. I mean, to me, that's you build championship hockey teams, Stanley Cup hockey teams, with your strength down the middle, those two centers, four defensemen, and your goaltender. After that, you're filling in the blanks around those guys. This is a real deep, deep group in Nashville, and they went to the final last year, so they had a taste of being close. I really like their team. I like Winnipeg's team as well. I love their roster. I think they probably have the deepest roster of players in the league. But the question is, they're pretty inexperienced. They haven't been here yet. They may be a year or two away from being really where they want to be moving forward. But if I had to pick a team in the Western Conference right now that I think is going to get all the way there, I think it would be Nashville.
EJ, when you look at the potential Western Conference finals that could be a Vegas Golden Knights team against Nashville, forget the product on the ice. When you look at the talent level in the music industry, who will win the national anthem off?
That's a good question. I don't know. Nashville's got, you know, they got an arsenal of of musicians to choose from there. So they may have the edge over everybody, but that would be certainly if you had a Vegas-Nashville Predators Stanley Cup final, or excuse me, Western Conference final series, I can tell you this, there'd be a few people in the media that might not make it all the way through. So that'd be the one thing I'd be concerned about.
We have Cher.
Well, hey, listen, that is old school. There's no question about that.
Well, Nashville certainly has the country music down, but we have the entire international world, so we'll see what happens, but that'd be fun to do. When we're talking about the playoffs, we talked about the West, and Vegas right now may be the best team in the West. Maybe it will be Nashville. That will play itself out. Who's a sleeper team like Nashville last year who could be real danger if they make it into the playoffs? Because Nashville just made it in as an 8 seed last year, but they were maybe the scariest 8 seed I've ever seen. I still have a feeling that the Dallas Stars, if they ever put things together, are still a pretty good hockey team, but they haven't completely shown it all season long.
Yeah, I think Dallas is, you know, they would qualify for that. I don't know if there's really any sleepers per se in the West. I mean, all the teams, we know them, and they're all pretty good. I mean, Dallas would qualify. I think Calgary would qualify. I like Calgary's team. You know, Mike Smith is someone that he led an Arizona Coyotes team in 2012 on a run to the Western Conference final. He's capable of being that kind of guy in goal. They've got a lot of weapons up front when you think of Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan and Matthew Tkachuk. And then on defense, it's a pretty strong group with Giordano and Brody and Hamilton. So, you know, I think they have what it takes to make a push as well. But I like Anaheim, as I mentioned before. I think if Anaheim's healthy, they're going to be a hard out. Obviously, what Vegas has done this year, they're no joke. They're for real in my book. And, you know, Nashville, Winnipeg, you know, St. Louis, if they're healthy, they can be a dangerous team. I mean, there's a lot of good teams in the Western Conference.
Real quick, and we appreciate the time here, but I do have to ask you, what about the East then? Is Tampa Bay clearly the team to beat there? Because they've had a lot of talent before, but they seem to get that injury bug sometimes too.
Yeah, I mean, I would say you look at it, if they're healthy, I think they would be the favorite coming in, you know, coming out of the Eastern Conference. I think for me, when I look at it, there's only three teams in the East that I think are really teams that are going to get, they can get through. And I think Tampa is at the top of the list. I think Pittsburgh is still there. They're playing a lot better hockey over the last 6 weeks. And that's a team. They've won two straight Stanley Cups. They have, still for my money, the best player in the world, Sidney Crosby. They've got a great talent in Evgeny Malkin. They've got Phil Kessel. They're terrifically coached by Mike Sullivan. Matt Murray has won two Stanley Cups. So I don't think we can, you know, he's above reproach when it comes to that kind of big game play. I think the Penguins, you know, you have to keep an eye on them. And the Boston Bruins have had a terrific season, and they're playing really well. And they've been able to take on all comers and have success. So those are the three teams in the East for me that I look at, and I say I think one of those three teams will be sitting there in June in the Stanley Cup final.
All right, EJ, well, we really appreciate the time. What are you working on NHL Network right now?
Well, we're getting ready for our show today. We've got, you know, our power rankings are coming out again on today. So I'm thinking that there's a good chance that you people in Vegas will be real happy with the results of my latest list. And, you know, we're talking to Patrice Bergeron later today as well, which is a thrill. He's a terrific, terrific player, one of the best players in the NHL. So it'll be another good show.
Yeah, well, it always is. I know I love the NHL Network. I don't know if they do any of those boxes or whatever and track people what they're watching, but if they're at my house, well, when I'm home, that's what's generally on.
Well, there you go. There you go. You got the right idea.
All right, thanks a lot. EJ Redick with us. Clayton, what a great guy, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I love seeing him, and like I said, every day he's on NHL Now, weekdays starting at 1 o'clock Pacific. And then special reminder, the NHL Network's going to have two games tomorrow, Senators and Flyers at 10 a.m., and then the Maple Leafs and the Bruins at 4.
All right, and that EJ Redick, thanks very much for that time. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up here on a game day, getting ready for Minnesota, then, of course, Washington on Sunday. Lots of hockey, Clayton. Lots more to still come your way here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio.
And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a game day. Game number 51 coming at you. 4:30 pregame, 5 o'clock puck drop. Golden Knights, Minnesota Wild. Golden Knights at 34-12 and 472 points high atop the Pacific Division in the all of the Western Conference. Minnesota Wild, 27-18 and 5, 59 points. Sixth in the Central, Frank Harnish and Clayton Hamilton. We will have all the action for you later on. But, Frank, I saw this article earlier today, and it made me happy because it says, goalies hate three-on-three in overtime. Do they have a point? I hate three-on-three in overtime, so it was nice to have some allies.
I absolutely love three-on-three overtime, but I do understand, and they do have a point. And the point is that it shouldn't count against their save percentage with that. It should be a separate category. Connor Hellebuck, who we just saw the other night, said some goalies have been talking about it. Absolutely. You go through a game. Let's say you give up two goals on 30 shots. Then you go in overtime. This is looked at as a very good thing. You get your team a point. But let's say you give up a goal on your first shot. Now your stats take a hit. When it comes contract time, that's a big deal. So they're complaining because it messes up their save percentage. I guess if you're a goalie, it's better to lose in regulation than go in the overtime sometimes.
It is, but I sort of disagree with him on the contract stuff, because if you have yourself a good agent, I know guys like Scott Boras, right, he will create new stats and new averages, because he'll say, you know what, yeah, he hit 286, but 17 times that season he hit a ground ball to the right side with a runner on second base and less than two outs, which was helping the team. So when you take out the goodness that he did that counts against his old antiquated average, his new average is this. So your agent will make up for that in the stats. But we see this sometimes in the Heisman Trophy candidacy when guys has all these multiple touchdowns, but he really got six of them in overtime. But I'm with him. Yeah, it should be a separate stat.
And there is a stat like that. The 5-on-5 percentage for goalies around the league is 929. The 3-on-3 overtime is 869. So there are stats out there like that. Like you said, if you have a good agent, well, then they're going to throw that out. If you don't have one, well, get one.
Yeah. You know who else has a great agent? Frank Harnish does, because he gets to watch hockey and get paid for it. We're going to do that
in
tonight.
Spite of my agent.
That's right. We're going to be with you tonight at 4:30 for the pregame show, 5 o'clock for the puck drop. Vegas Golden Knights, Minnesota Wild on Frank. What could be another record-breaking evening?
It could be. I hope it will be. By the way, my agent, Agent Orange.
Yeah. Well, we will be back at you at 4:30, but stick around. The sports roll on. T.C. Martin, our good buddy, the doctor, he's next live from the Cosmos.